I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to the show, Junks, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We head out right now to the BetQL guest hotline. We're joined by Jason Reed, senior NFL writer for Anscape, ESPN's platform, exploring the intersections of sports, race, and culture. He's got a new book out. It's called Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. Jason, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, guys. It's been a long time.
Has been a long time. For those in the audience that don't remember, Jason was here for a long time in D.C. He was the beat writer for the then Redskins. He was a columnist for the Washington Post.
Yep.
And now he's moved on. He's an author.
Now he's making big money
with ESPN. So yeah, it's good. It's good to reconnect with you. And we mentioned the book in the open, Rise of the Black Quarterback: What It Means for America. And looking at your Twitter, looks like it's released today, August 2nd. Tell us about the book, how long it took to cobble this together, and what people can expect.
Hey, guys, it was about 2 years of our reporting and writing, and the book really looks at the history of the black quarterback in the NFL, the most powerful and successful sports league on the planet, and traces this 100-year journey of black players in the league, and specifically black quarterbacks. I look at the pioneers, guys like Doug Williams, who many Washington fans obviously remember what he did in the Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos. Other pioneers, a guy like Marlon Brisco, who played for the Denver Broncos, James Shaq Harris. And then I look at the superstars of today, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson. And it's about football, but it's about more than football. It's really tracing this journey of how this group that was once marginalized, black players who aspired to play quarterback in the NFL, and how they became among the most popular and successful players in the league. Mm.
In your opinion, present day, is there still a stigma from teams about drafting a black quarterback? Do you think that still exists? Because you mentioned some of the stars in the league, Lamar, Mahomes, Kyler, Deshaun gets the most guaranteed money ever for, I think, any player, not just a quarterback. Is there still like an underlying stigma there?
Well, in researching the book and talking to player personnel people throughout the league, the consensus I came away with is that gone are the days in the NFL draft rooms around teams where someone will say, or it will just be understood, we're not going to take this guy because he's a quarterback in college and he's black, or if we take him, we're going to change position. Like that is gone. Okay. Like superstar quarterbacks in college who have the measurables and the intangibles, like those guys are going to be taken. There's no question about that. Where there's still a situation, fellas, is like what we saw last week with what Patrick Mahomes said, where you get a feeling that some guys are evaluated a little differently in some of the language that's used to rate their performances. And when a guy like Patrick Mahomes, youngest player in the history of the NFL to have a league MVP award, a Super Bowl MVP award, and a Super Bowl trophy, when he feels compelled to come out and say something like that, then yeah, there's still an undercurrent. But no, things have never been better for black quarterbacks in the history of the NFL than they are right now.
Hey, getting back to kind of back in the 70s when Warren Moon was coming out of University of Seattle, where he helped win a Pac-8 title for them, and then he wasn't drafted. He went right to Edmonton. He went to the Canadian Football League, and then finally got an opportunity to go to Houston, and he's a Hall of Famer. So how much was – did you talk to Warren for the book? And he went to 9 Pro Bowls, by the way, and he was the Offensive Player of the Year in 1990. He's one of those guys that was kind of under the radar, And I think the racial stigma was probably the reason.
Well, I'll take it even a step further with Warren. And yes, guys, I spent a lot of time talking to Warren. He's one of the people I got to thank for giving me so much time about his story, but also about the subject overall. But Warren, not only did he help Washington win the Rose Bowl, he was, at the time, the co-Pac-8 Player of the Year. It's now the Pac-12 Conference, right, but at the time it was the Pacific 8. So he was a co-Player of the Year, doesn't get drafted, goes to Edmonton. And you look at what his career potentially could have been had he been drafted by the NFL back in 1970. I mean, he may own every record that there is right now. Yeah. He still had a great career in the NFL once he finally got there. But the only reason he was not in the NFL was because he didn't want to change positions. And even in the late 70s, by and large, black men were not being drafted to play quarterback in the NFL because the NFL looked at them as not being smart enough, not being leaders, and just not being capable of playing the most important position in professional sports.
So we're talking to Jason Reed. The new book is Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. When you were the Redskins, now Commanders beat writer, they drafted a black quarterback in RG3. I just want you to kind of recap what the phenomenon of RG3 was like, because I don't think it was about his race. It was about whether the kid could play. And at least as a rookie, he did, and he ignited this city.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that was – like, I look back at my career. I've covered the L.A. Dodgers for the L.A. Times, and, you know, I've done a lot of other things. But that was the – that year, his rookie season, RG3's, was just incredible. And that, and you know, you guys know this as well as I do. That run that they went on, that winning streak to close the regular season and get in the playoffs and the things he did, it was like hope finally, Washington fans finally had hope that, hey, all these bad times are behind us. And it wasn't about his race. It was about what he could do. Now, what I'll say is that clearly when you look at the time he was in Washington, him being African-American in that city, it only helped Washington in terms of the fan base. You know, Washington used to be called Chocolate City because of the African-American representation in the city. So it didn't hurt the team in any way that they had this black quarterback. And it was just such a magical time, guys. You know, people often talk to me about writing a book about that year. And, you know, who knows, maybe someday down the road. But it was something, it was a moment in time that I know Washington fans wish they could, well, just basically stay there.
All right, what's your take on what's going on with Deshaun Watson in Cleveland? The judge said she recommended the 6-game suspension. Now the league is saying they wanted to push for more. I don't know what their options are. We're hearing that there's going to be a bigger suspension down the road. This is kind of a fluid thing, and it could change in the next few weeks. But and who knows? He may even start playing the season, and then the suspension comes down. I have no idea. But what's your take on that, and do you think they'll just stick with the 6 games?
Well, here's the thing. Sue Robinson heard the testimony of Deshaun's representatives, of the league, of the Players Association, and the disciplinary officer, Sue Robinson. She ruled that, look, this is not good, obviously, but there just wasn't enough evidence for her to go further. I mean, fellas, we got to remember, 2 grand juries in Houston declined to indict. Now, there don't have to be criminal charges under the NFL personal conduct policy, but from everything I've read, and with the 15-page ruling, it just seems like she felt, you know what, there's just not enough hard evidence here for me to go further. Now, you mentioned, you referenced this, the league does have a chance to appeal. The league wanted a year suspension and a massive fine. That's what the league wanted. So it looks like this is a gift to the Browns and Deshaun Watson and his people. We don't know if the league is going to appeal. If the league does appeal, we'll see what happens. But she heard from all the sides, and this is what she ruled.
Jason, what was your takeaway on the Kyler Murray contract provision requiring him to study film for a certain amount of time per week? It's since been removed. It was embarrassing both for the organization and for Kyler. He spoke about it. What did you think of that when you saw that hit the wire?
Fellas, how much time do we have here? I mean, I could talk about this for 2 hours. I mean, I put my old beat writer hat on, and when I saw it, I was like, well, my God. The Cardinals just botched this thing completely because, look at it, fellas, if you're going to guarantee a guy $160 million for injury and $105 million for time of signing, the last thing you want to do is leave a bad taste in anyone's mouth because you're saying this is our guy. we're going to move forward with him and compete for Super Bowls. So you put this clause in there. So the first thing that struck me was, okay, somebody who's high up enough in that organization, or multiple people high up in that organization, felt that this kid does not study hard enough. This kid who was the AP Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, a two-time Pro Bowler, they've made steady progress with him. And so they felt they needed to stick this thing in there. It was a colossal mistake. Because you don't want to put something in there that's going to come out that makes everybody think, well, the kid doesn't work hard enough. And 4 hours is such an insanely small amount of time. So my read on it is they probably were generally okay with his study habits right now, but they for him to maximize his enormous potential, they wanted to prod him a little bit. But you don't put it in the contract. You go to his agent and you say, look, let's have a meeting because here's some of our concerns. Now, Kyler's agent, I think, also did him a disservice. Like, they put that in the contract, and he checked off on the final paperwork. And you know how it is, guys. This wasn't something that was really a major thing that anybody was thinking. Kyler's thinking, I got $160 million guaranteed for injury. The team is thinking, we've eliminated this off-season mess with him not being happy. So they took it out. It was a colossal mistake, and I guarantee you, every time Kyler has a bad game, and he's going to have bad games because everybody does, people are going to start thinking about this thing, and that's really sad.
Joined by Jason Reed. His new book is Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. You can check it out on @JReedESPN on Twitter. So now that you're away from the day-to-day of the Washington Commanders, I want your preview of them for the 2022 season. How do you think Carson Wentz works out? What's your view on the Commanders' prospects going forward?
Fellas, you got to bring me back for more time if you want this stuff. You know, I could talk about this for an hour. Here's the situation. Anybody who's been in D.C., it's all about quarterback play, especially in D.C. because of how bad things have been for so long. Carson Wentz was shipped out by his last two teams. It would be surprising to me if he has a career renaissance in D.C. with all of the other things swirling around the team. And, you know, fellas, never believe players when they say, well, none of that stuff, you know, we don't think about that stuff. Everything adds up. So I would be surprised if they have a good season under Carson Wentz. I would be also surprised if Jack Del Rio has a Joe Gibbs-type run here, not in terms of success, but I'm just talking about in terms of the number of years. The pressure here is always palpable because of everything surrounding the owner, because of all the missteps on the field, because of all the mistakes in player personnel. And look, I think there are good people in that organization trying to do good. I really do believe that. I think Jason Wright is trying to do the right thing. I think the people in player personnel are trying to do the right thing. The people in broadcast, I think they're trying to do the right thing. But the culture starts at the top. And, fellas, we really don't need to talk about what's at the top of that culture.
Would you go over or under 8.5 wins for the Commanders this year?
Oh, I'm not going to even let you get that out. I'm way under 8.5.
Ooh. Oh, are you way under?
Way under. Like,
so, like, six wins, seven?
Like 5 or 6 wins under?
No.
Listen, guys, they play 17 games now. The quarterback was run out of his last two teams. Not just traded, but run out. They had to get him out of town. If this team wins 6 games, I think that would be a very, very good season.
Wow.
But they did that with Taylor Heinicke last year, is what people would argue.
And it's a softer schedule.
It's a softer schedule on paper.
Right.
Like, we can talk about paper. But once these guys start lining up and plays are run and people are hitting each other, schedule don't look so soft then. Look, could Carson Wentz have a career renaissance there? Could he, you know, lead this team to the playoffs, you know, 10, 11 victories? Look, anything is possible and hope springs eternal. But when you're telling me that the guy under center was not just traded from his last two teams in consecutive offseason, but run out of town, to me, that's not a good sign.
Jason, I'm always curious about guys who've been beat reporters for years, and then you became a columnist at the Washington Post covering the Redskins for years. Did you have any interactions with Daniel Snyder, and what do you expect to happen on that front?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I did, and I'll say this one real quickly. Someone set us up with a private meeting once in his office. And the point of the meeting was I had been writing some very critical things.
Sure.
And the person was like, well, let me get you guys together. Meeting did not go well because I was very honest with them. I told them what people in the organization who work under them have told me, what people on other teams have told me. It was not a good meeting. Look, anything can happen, and maybe things will change here. Once again, there are good people in our organization, Jason Wright, other people who are striving to make things better. But it starts at the top, and it always starts at the top. So if you want change, if you want a change in culture, it's got to come from the top.
When you say it did not go well, was he using expletives towards you?
No, not at all. It just was like the meeting was called so we could kind of clear the air.
Right.
And as we were both talking, the person who stepped up to me said, okay, this isn't working. Let's just end it. And I was taken out of his office.
That was it.
So it lasted like 2 minutes, sounds like.
No. It was a little longer than that because I listened to him talk, and then he listened to me talk. But when the person who set up the meeting saw it was going very badly, then he was like, okay, this isn't working. Let's just...
Oh, I got you. All right.
Well, Jason, it was good to catch up with you. We appreciate the time. Best of luck with the new book. It's Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. Looks like it's being released today. Is that correct? At least according to your Twitter.
That is correct, fellas.
Awesome. So at Jay Reed, ESPN, you can get more information there. Thanks again.
Thanks for the time.
Hey, anytime. Good catching up, guys.
Yeah, man.
Yep. Good catching up. That's Jason Reed on the BetQL guest hotline. When we come back, we'll get back into the Commanders. Very simple question for the listeners. Are you in on Curtis Samuel? Are you out on Curtis Samuel?
I can't imagine we're going to get one call who's in on him.
If you're in on Curtis Samuel, I'm begging you to call. I just, like you said, I don't think there are many of you out there. But if you are, you're welcome to call at 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.